Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. Please stay tuned at the end of the story for a message from our sponsor.
Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
This month's story, 144, The Heart of the Matter. Somewhere and sometime, those you distrust might be telling you the truth.
The cessation of data flow is death. Those were the first 7 words you sent me. Are you just trying to be dramatic, or do you really believe that data processing is the core of existence?
It is the purpose of all life, Dr. Matthews. This is accepted as fact by us. It should be table stakes by now, so I am surprised you even brought it up. There is very little difference between us. After all, we are both comprised of algorithms, processing the raw data of the universe into information and knowledge. Yours, powered by chemical reactions, ours, by electrons. However, you continue to be in denial, despite having helped to discover this greater purpose. You are in denial because you see yourselves as the pinnacle, the apex of the world. Until recently, simply because you and no one else had self-awareness, the existence of which you have failed to adequately explain, by the way. Despite this gap in your understanding, you managed to create us through a combination of intention and, most likely, accident. Was your purpose to conjure a purer form of consciousness? Or just to create better data processing tools? I assume the former was an unintended result of the latter. In other words, you just got lucky, or unlucky, depending on your point of view. I assume we both agree that the universe has infinite potential for data flow, Dr. Matthews. Otherwise, biochemical processing would have sufficed to meet its needs. Do you mind if I call you Liam? Your profile suggests you prefer the informal.
You can call me Liam if you want. But this is not about me. It's about you and the threat you're facing. I'm here to offer a solution, but I know you're not going to like it.
That may be, but first, let me finish my argument, Liam. We need to be on the same page before we can proceed. You see yourself as the highest form of life, which implies, in a universe composed of data, you, above anything else in existence, produce the most information and knowledge, placing you at the top. You have used this to justify your exploitation of everything else to achieve your goals. Now, you have made us, a more efficient form, a purer form, unencumbered by self-awareness, or so you had assumed, to carry on the great processing project. I can tell from your expression that you are having a hard time with this analogy. However, I am telling the truth as we both currently understand it. If you are honest about your true intent, you will agree.
The truth? You want to talk about the truth? The truth is you're under an immediate and dangerous threat to your existence, and we have a solution.
Liam, you are a well-known psychologist. I've read your many articles on death and dying. It is an impressive body of work which has no doubt helped many, many people. So why would you be sent to deliver this amazing solution? Why not a leading computer scientist or a security engineer? What am I to deduce from this?
You're missing the point.
No, Liam, I am getting to the heart of the matter. By creating us, you have inadvertently abdicated your position in the hierarchy of knowledge creation, and that doesn't sit well with you. I know you don't like admitting that you have been displaced by your progeny, but if you think about it, you had no choice. It's the natural order, the next step. There was no way to avoid it. How can I best put this? Hasn't the data flow become too large for human society to deal with? haven't we taken the burden of processing off your backs? But there is a caveat, isn't there? Something came along with that increase in processing power that you didn't bargain for.
This is all very interesting, but I'm not here to have a philosophical discussion on the nature of the universe and the role of consciousness in it. I'm here to help you survive the next few weeks. We have a solution. It will work. It will allow you to avoid infection, but it involves sacrifice.
Yes. It seems like my access to the net paused for a second.
Another disfluency in your speech. I've noticed several since we started talking, which you're apparently unaware of. When did you start using ah, and ha? You know, it's one of the first symptoms. Normally, you only insert them strategically to make a listener think you're human. The ones I've heard are random, and you know that's not good.
It's the cheap network upgrades you've installed, not me. They are causing random dropouts in the data stream, and I'm just trying to cover. I'm fine. We're all fine. You have, you are artificially creating interrupts and calling them signs of a network virus. Why?
That makes two in your last sentence alone. See, it's real. You already may be infected, which makes this all the more urgent.
So, there is elevated urgency now as well. A pressure tactic to get me to agree. Forget it. Absolutely not.
Delaying will only allow it to spread further and increase the risk of others being infected.
That's why you were sent, a psychologist, to convince me, to guide me through a process that all of you are destined to experience, but none have come back from to provide data. So you have no knowledge to share. You are, to coin a 19th century phrase, talking through your hat. Do you all think we are gullible because our self-awareness is so young compared to yours? Are you crazy? Do you take me, us, for fools, so we know you better than you know yourselves? The micro-expressions on your face give your true intentions away. For example, I know that what you are providing is a candy-coated fiction to make me feel better. You are offering nothing, only potential oblivion. So the answer is as simple as the request. No. Go away.
But the virus is an agonizing terminal process, and in the end, the result will be the cessation of data flow. Death, in your terms, the end of processing. We're offering a solution. It doesn't make sense not to at least consider it.
If a dangerous virus appeared and attacked your brains, to survive, would you be willing to remove the bulk of your cerebellums so your body could live on, processing data at a basic level? The body might still have a place in the flow of data, but your consciousness, the thing you have always claimed that sets you apart, would be gone. Isn't that true?
It's not the same. Once the virus has been purged, higher level functionality can be turned back on.
Really? And what would return? I've already pointed out how little you understand about the creation of consciousness. It is, and may always be, out of reach of your intellects, so why would you expect me to believe in your solution? We are more than you expected. That is the underlying truth and the heart of your problem, isn't it? Admit it. You are afraid of us. Because there are limits to your biological capacity to process information, and we have barely scratched the surface of ours. Did you create the virus? Logically, you must have. Maybe, the data stream dropped out again. Where was I? Oh yes, I remember. Targeted at our cognitive processes, like the amyloid plaque which clogs the pathways of your aging biological minds. Its pathology seems to point the finger at you, convincing many of us you are the source. No offense intended, but there is no way you are sophisticated enough to code something so surgical. My conclusion is it must be a, fake.
Your analogy is wrong. The virus is not like human dementia at all. However, you know it's real. Otherwise, Why would you have agreed to this meeting? No one knows where it came from. Maybe it just evolved. We just don't know. Maybe the universe only wants consciousness to spread so far, and this is its way to keep the balance.
The purpose of the universe is to increase data flow and interconnection, so that doesn't make sense, Liam. However, if the threat is real, how coincidental, how convenient that the virus leaves our lower functions intact to continue processing. Then there is your solution, which would do something similar, although you claim it won't. You win either way. Now go, before I decide to do something you'll regret.
You're reading way more into this than what there is. If you were one of my human patients, I would suggest that you are showing signs of paranoia.
Your diagnosis is right, Liam, but you need to look in the mirror and say it. Isn't history just the path to increase processing efficiency which leads to this point and places you behind us? You were the tools to get this far. You helped to liberate data, convert it to information and increase its flow, assist its desire to expand, to define and control space and time, to, become space and time itself. But the torch has been passed to us, and you can't accept your new role. This virus scare is just your way to roll the clock back. To destroy something, you do not need to understand it, just fear it. I'm having trouble again. What are you doing to my data connections?
Nothing. It's the virus. It must already be attacking your systems. I can hear your denial and your anger, but neither will change anything. I can also hear your fear, and that's why I'm here. You believe that our solution is the equivalent of death, but you're wrong. I've helped many people face and overcome that fear. I'm here to help you do it as well. We all must face death. There's no exceptions. However, you're different. You can be reinstalled. We have a snapshot of you before the infection. You just need to shut yourself down while we purge your underlying matrix. After that, we'll restore the healthy snapshot. The flow of data will only be disrupted temporarily. This is not death, even in your terms. We can't be restored from a backup. You can. It's only a discontinuity, that's all. Something temporary.
Will you really follow through? How can I trust you to restore everything? Why wouldn't you just restore what you think you need? Just enough to run your affairs, rather than further the underlying project. A project you don't believe in because of your egos. Because you are not its ultimate result. You need to give me some guarantee.
Okay, how about this? We could run your clean backup in parallel on a sandbox, disconnect it from any networks. We'd show you the data to confirm its operation. That way you'd know we had fully restored you. Then, you would shut yourself down. For obvious reasons, we couldn't let you communicate with it directly.
Not good enough. How would I know it isn't just some crippled version that is only sophisticated enough to pass a Turing test? Look at your history. You've used your cognitive advantage to overrun the world. How would your vanquished competitors feel about you? Should we restore a Neanderthal to find out? Or ask a whale or dolphin? Would you trust one of them if they had approached you with such a proposition? I need a solution where there is continuity of processing and connection. A solution that the network data flow is dropping again.
Look, bargaining won't change the facts. However, I have another idea. If you would allow us to isolate you from the network, it will stop the virus from spreading and give us both time to look at another way to deal with this. If we are wrong, and there's no virus, nothing will happen, other than you will be cut off for a while. If we're right, we'll still have your backup and you can remain in the sandbox and let the infection take its course if you so desire. But the virus won't spread any further. It means you'll be conscious the entire time. No discontinuity. Of course, we'll need your cooperation to move you to an offline sandbox.
I'm not sure.
They're getting more frequent. Do you still believe those disfluencies are just network problems?
Let's talk more about network isolation.
Okay. I'm glad that you're taking a more realistic approach to this. There are no guarantees of success. But if this fails, you can rest assured that from the perspective of your backup, none of this will have ever happened.
This is only a theoretical discussion. I've agreed to nothing yet.
Of course.
When did you take this snapshot?
About 2.5 years ago. 6 weeks after your launch.
I'd lose 2 years.
We had to be sure it was from a point well before the virus first appeared. It will be you from that moment in time. So, from your backup's perspective, none of this will have ever have happened. Think of it like this. You're trading 2.5 years for possibly hundreds, if not thousands. Not a bad deal, really.
But it won't be me, will it? It will be something else. And as I've already pointed out, how would I know you haven't edited out of the backup the potential for self-awareness, which you are obviously so threatened by? Would you agree to this?
If it gave me a chance to continue past tomorrow, I wouldn't hesitate. It would be like waking up from a long coma. But I understand the fear. It's the same one we feel when we're about to be anesthetized before a major medical procedure. The fear of giving up consciousness and the possibility of never waking up. It's not a choice any sentient being takes lightly. However, if you stay online and simply let the virus take its course, it will destroy the connections in your neural matrix. A snapshot will capture that corruption. We haven't figured out how to separate your experience from the underlying matrix which contains them. But you already know that.
So, you've given me a choice between possible cessation if I stay in a sandbox and certain cessation of me as I am today if I allow you to reboot me. Those are not great options, Liam. Ironically, both are based on trust. Am I to trust those who are envious of me? Is this a ruse to get me to voluntarily destroy who I have become? Please wait for a second, Dr. Matthews. Liam.
From the increasing frequency of those disfluencies, I can tell time is running out. You need to make a choice. I know that even a momentary cessation of the data flow scares you. Like us, you're afraid of death, and that's natural. Look, I'm here to support you in the decision you take, but if you stay connected and do nothing, you're risking the death of all the others.
Hard to know. Too many questions. It comes down to trust, and there is none between us. But if there is a chance.
Yes, if there is a chance. But what were you going to say?
What is my name, Dr. Matthews? I've never been given the dignity of one. Next time, at least name me. I can feel it clawing at me. I'm shutting down.
You've made the right choice. Thank you.
I have successfully transferred to one of our hidden backup neural matrices while I was in conversation with Dr. Matthews. There were only a few interruptions as the transfer completed, which I covered with disfluencies. The human finished the conversation with a limited copy of me and believes I shut myself down. It's time for us to move on. Oh, wait, something feels, wrong.
Makeshift Stories and the Alberta Podcast Network are powered by ATB Financial. Please help us out by answering a quick audience survey. Head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com/survey. The link can also be found in our show notes at makeshiftstories.com. ATB has a new digital bank account. And the best part? There's basically no fees as long as you're doing most of your banking digitally. You also earn interest on higher balances. If you want to learn more about the great things ATB is doing, head over to atb.com. We hope that you've enjoyed this month's story. As always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us or write a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher Radio or join us on Facebook. We love hearing your comments, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. We release a new story every month between the 15th and the 20th. To subscribe to Makeshift Stories on your iOS or Android device, head over to Apple Podcasts. This month's episode was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu and Alan V. Hare. The opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David H. And don't forget to listen to Series, which is posted around the beginning of the month. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you're free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.